Today on Real Radio.
I remember standing on the street corner in 1992 in Moscow, Russia, and this guy goes, I heard what you were preaching. I heard what you were saying. I don't believe God exists. I said, I tell you what, you go home right now, you get on your knees and ask God to reveal himself to you. Are you sure? Of course I'm sure. I said, I'll never see you again. In a city of 11 million people, I'm sure I'll never see you again. But I'm totally confident that if you go home and bow your knee and you honestly ask God to reveal himself to you, he'll do it. And he goes, he'll do that? I said, he's real. I'm more sure about him answering your prayer than about you going home and praying. And I don't know where that guy is today. I don't know whatever happened to him, but he told me he was going to go home and he was going to pray. I don't have to worry about it because God is real. And he's got a purpose for our lives.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 3 of this letter written by Paul, and he's been speaking of the equality that is now between the Jew and the Gentile who follow Messiah. The author had what is often referred to as an eternal perspective. Today's presentation focuses on verses 11 through 13 and is called God's Eternal Purposes. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But the more you hear Bible, you hear the Word of God, it gets in your heart, and God shakes that stuff up and it begins to swell. Your heart begins to get enlarged, and faith begins to be born in your heart. And there's a moment in time when you say, you know what, it makes sense to me now. I got it. I'm going to give my heart to Christ. That's faith. And the result of that is what the Scripture says, that therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation, brand new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Isn't that good news? If we believe it, it's good news. Of course, the need for that is that the Scripture tells us that we've all been condemned and we need salvation through Christ. But God's eternal purpose is that he would save us, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose, that's our salvation, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how you're saved, through Jesus Christ. We'll talk about this in a moment. The next thing I want you to see under this point in verse 11 is that we were given a mission for life also. See the word purpose here? The word purpose means the setting forth of a plan. It also can be used as a nautical term, a proposed course or a heading to follow. It means that the sovereign, awesome God of all creation and everything has ordained a path for you to go on. Now, you guys, I say guys, girls, maybe you can understand this a little bit. But guys, did you ever remember the Matchbox? Oh, no, not Matchbox. They were the Hot Wheels, with the yellow or orange track. And you had the little purple tongue thing that you stuck them, okay? You would set up the course just right so that that car stayed on there, remember? And I don't know how it was at your place, but we had in the front yard, and we had props holding that thing up. We had loops, and we'd literally, on our house, we started our Hot Wheel course off of one of the eaves on the roof of the house. We were committed Hot Wheelers. We would get up there and let that thing go, and gradual descent down, reaching incredible speeds. And I mean, it was so awesome. It went all over the yard, and we would work for hours to make it just right. That car had to stay on a course. It was our determination, it was our purpose to keep that car on that course. And we went through great pains to keep it that way. What about this? Did you guys ever take garden hoses or a big garden hose, put it together, and do it with marbles? What? where you put the two garden hoses together. It's got a little valley there in the middle. And you take marbles and you make a course with... What did you guys do? That's when we were really poor and we couldn't afford Hot Wheels. No. Oh, yeah, that's a shame. You've really missed out on a lot of your childhood. That's a pity. What's the big deal? It's a course. God has a course for your life. Who you are tonight. There's a course. Well, I'm married. Well, what are we going to do about that? God knew that. God has established your course, and He knew that you were going to be married. And that course incorporates that. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, how can two walk together unless they agree? That walk presupposes that there's a course to go on. There has to be agreement, and the Holy Spirit does that. But God has a plan, a mission for our lives, the purpose, a desired course. Isn't that exciting to know? When you take off in an airplane, one of the things that I love most about flying is the stress and the pressure. Because right before you take off, you get departure clearance, and the tower comes to you, and he says, now this is what I want you to do. I want you to depart on this runway. I want you to stay on a heading of, 042 or whatever he squawks out to you, and you got to read it back to him, and then you're like panicking, freaking out, because if you mess up, he could kill you and family and friends, and it's pretty exciting. And so you write it all down, then you read it back to him, and he's given you a course that will save your life. He's vectoring you to get you to live. And God does that same thing. If you're a believer tonight, God has got a plan to lead you along the way. But you and I so often grab the wheel, we grab the yoke, we grab the harness, and we say, I can do it. And we can't do it. God's got a plan. The greatest thing we can do is submit to the plan of God. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And it's a wonderful thing. I don't know if your life is meaningless or has no direction. If you feel that way tonight, you ought to just say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do in my life? And I want to encourage you, when you pray that prayer, have a notebook and a pencil nearby. And jot down the thoughts that come into your head. I'm serious about this. Just to give you a little bit of encouragement, you made the first thought that might come into your head. I'm not kidding. God, what do you want me to do with my life? The first thought that comes to your mind might take out the trash. What? Write it down. Get it out of your head. Just write it down. Take out the trash. It doesn't make any sense. Just write it down. Wait upon Him. He might say, pray more. Pray more. Write that down. Take a drive. Take a drive. Wait a moment. If He's not saying anything else, if nothing else is coming in your mind, get up, take out the trash. I'm serious. Take out the trash. What was the second thing I said? Pray. So go take out the trash, talk to God, get in the car and take a drive and watch what happens. With the radio off. And watch what happens. He will actually begin to lead you. And you might say, well, I don't believe it. Well, listen, get a notebook and a pencil and pray and watch what happens to you. I remember standing on the street corner in 1992 in Moscow, Russia, and this guy goes, I heard what you were preaching. I heard what you were saying. I don't believe God exists. I said, I tell you what, you go home right now, you get on your knees and ask God to reveal Himself to you. Are you sure? Of course I'm sure. I said, I'll never see you again. In a city of 11 million people, I'm sure I'll never see you again. But I'm totally confident that if you go home and bow your knee and you honestly ask God to reveal Himself to you, He'll do it. And he goes, He'll do that? I said, He's real. I'm more sure about Him answering your prayer than about you going home and praying. And I don't know where that guy is today. I don't know whatever happened to him, but he told me he was going to go home and he was going to pray. I don't have to worry about it because God is real. And He's got a purpose for our lives. But you pray. And don't be afraid. If you understand His nature, you don't have to be afraid of Him. He will bless you. Look at Paul the Apostle. He wrote in 1 Timothy 1:11. He says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Does that sound like somebody who's afraid of God? The glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul couldn't believe it, that God had given him a life and a ministry. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He gave Paul a life. You might say, well, I'm not interested in ministry. Well, that's okay. God has a plan for your life. And what are you doing right now to accomplish God's call upon your life? Are you seeking him? God is working in your life. If he's not, he's trying to work in your life. Just let him in. And what is it if you're a believer tonight? You know, chances are if I asked tonight, if you're a believer, will you raise your hand? Everybody would raise their hand. Even non-believers would raise their hand because they don't want to look like a, you know, odd man out. So if we raised our hands tonight, what is going on in your life right now? You can ask yourself that question. What is going on in my life to bring about the purpose of God? He's not a scary God, but that's a scary question. It's not our bucks, it's not our athletic abilities, it's not our education that's the answer. Well, I'm getting my PhD, God. That's what I'm doing. Well, that's good, I guess. Just be careful. Well, PhD's not my problem. It's, you know, money. Be careful. That's okay. Money's not bad. It's the love of money that's bad. Money is nothing. It's nothing. It's how it's used. It can be a great blessing in the hands of the right people. It can be a horrible curse in the hands of others. If this church, if Calvary Chapel is going to be at all effective and make an impact in our community or the world, it's going to happen because you and I will have taken our salvation and our calling seriously as believers. And we'll yield to God and let him do whatever he wants to do. We should have a sign out front, welcome to Calvary Chapel. Remember we said this a couple weeks ago, a non-spectator church. That's the way it should be. Why? Because I want to see you sweat? No way. Remember, we're not supposed to sweat. We can't sweat. The Bible says the priests of the Lord are not to sweat in the book of Ezekiel. Can't sweat. No, because that's where true growth, true life happens. I want to share with you, I won't say any names because they're here tonight, but there was a time when a man sat in this church with his arms folded right back there and just with a scowl on his face, he must have sat here for close to 10 months, I would guess, and hated every minute. And there was one day, it was a Sunday, when we were really stressing the fact you need to make a decision for Jesus Christ. Not to him personally. It was Sunday. It was crowded in here. But he took it personally. And it irritated him. So he, after service, went out and got a couple of beers and decided to get in his truck and he was going to come over to my house and set me straight. And he did that. And he came over and I met him. I was actually over at Mark's house barring his weed whacker or edger or something. And I was heading back to my house and I saw this guy there in my front yard and we met. And as he was walking closer to me, he was walking with a purpose. And I'm thinking, wow, what's going on? And it was great because by the time we met, he goes, his lip was kind of moving a little bit and he goes, I got to talk to you. I said, okay. So we walked over to my yard. If you've been to my house, we have these big trees in the front yard. So we stood there underneath the trees. And he said, I was coming over here to set you straight. And just tell you to get off my back and quit telling me to make a decision for Jesus Christ. I was fed up hearing about it. I'm sick of it. So, okay. Well, halfway over here, God began to speak to me. And this is great because we had been planning the church picnic for a long time. And he goes, well, this is what's going on. So we shared and we talked and I shared with him. And we prayed. He accepted the Lord. And the first thing he said after we said amen, he said, now I can go to the church picnic. He was fighting off everything that was Christian, his kids and his wife, and he was building up a wall. And you get kind of tired holding that wall there. And as soon as that wall came down, the big thing for him was, man, now I can go to the picnic. And it was great because the Harvest Crusades were here that weekend. And even on that day, in fact, he went forward that night even at the crusade. It's fantastic. His excuses went away. We might have excuses about why we're not letting God use us, but they're not any good. Paul had many excuses. We've told you time and time again, Paul was a little 4'11", bald-headed, nearly blind, had an oriental eye infection. He had a speech impediment, according to Scripture, bow-legged, possibly arthritic. He contracted malaria at one point in time, had severe headaches, according to church history and eyewitnesses. He was a mess. The Bible says that his appearance was contemptible. A sorry-looking thing. Man, Paul, you look like a wreck. You look like a bum, man. That was Paul. He had all kinds of excuses why he shouldn't be used by God, but God had a purpose for him. It's by God's grace that he uses us. Don't ever forget that. Well, I'm not really something. Of course you're not something. Who is something? Well, that guy over there, he's really something. Oh, yeah, you don't even know that guy. If you knew that guy, you'd be glad you're you. Well, God's using him. God uses the stupid things in the world to do his work through. Listen, the Bible says he's a jealous God. I think it was Ashley recently. I read that verse. We were reading Psalms, and it says that God is a jealous God. And she goes, I thought, that's bad. Well, that's bad. No, that's not the kind of jealous we're talking about. He says, I'm a jealous God. I share my glory with nobody. So he looks around and he says, well, if I'm not going to share my glory with anybody, who can I use? And the answer to that is, in the Greek, it's geeks. We have a word a lot like it in the English. You say, well, Billy Graham's something. God has made Billy Graham. But if you ask Billy Graham if he's something, Billy Graham thinks he's nothing. God thinks he's something. You might think he's something. Ask Ruth Graham. Ask Billy Graham. I don't understand it. But God just uses us. He wants to use us. In 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7, I love this verse. These couple of verses. They're a lot of fun. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And here it comes. But we have this treasure, that is the gospel truth, the gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's this. This flesh. Did I say flesh? I thought I said flush. Same difference. This flesh. The gospel truth is in our lives. And Paul says, we have this in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. We're just clay. Isn't it interesting we're made out of the same elements of the earth? We're pots. We're saucers. We're vases. Or you might think, you may be a vase, Jack. I'm a vase. I'm probably an ashtray or something porcelain. But we're all clay, man. And God has chosen for his purpose to use the gospel, promote the gospel, shine the gospel through us. It's an amazing truth. Don't understand it. Second thing we need to look at tonight, verse 12. And this has got some beautiful, encouraging things for us. Verse 12 says, in whom, that is Jesus, we have, circle it, boldness and circle it, access with, circle this, confidence through, and you can circle faith in Him. Four things that's essential that we understand. So the second point here in verse 12 is that the eternal purpose that God has for us is that He has provided for us. That's His purpose, to have provided for us all that is needed. God does not, I don't know what you're thinking right now about who you are or who you're with or whatever, but God does not tolerate you or your Christian friend. God does not tolerate you. He doesn't look at you and say, well, you know, there's Jim Bovee. Sheesh. Oh, wait, right there's John Miller right next to him. Oh, man. There's Jeff McDonald. How am I ever going to get these guys? Oh, boy. He doesn't do that. God does not tolerate us. God has accepted us and is accepting us now. We so often go, oh, God, I promised you and I really let you down. You didn't let Him down. You think when He said, God, I'll never sin again. I love you so much, I'm never going to sin, God. You think God goes, oh man, wow, finally somebody's after my own heart. He's never going to sin. Michael, Gabriel, did you hear that? Why can't you be like him? He's a right on guy. And then you blow it. Oh, God, I promised you. You think He goes, oh, no. You think He does. You feel like He does. You know, the moment you made that promise, you think God's up there, you know, biting on His nails. Oh, I hope He doesn't slip up. No way. He knows what's coming. Don't ever make God a promise. You can't fulfill it. The Scripture says, don't make a vow. You have no power to perform it. When you blow it, He doesn't panic and you disappoint Him. He knows. He knows that. He doesn't tolerate us. He's excited about us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 3 and verses 11 through 13. It's a study called God's Eternal Purposes, part of a fascinating series through this Pauline letter that emphasizes equality between the Jew and the Gentile who follow Messiah. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, another book of Scripture, in fact, the very last one, the book of Revelation, is unlike any other book of the Bible. It, of course, contains quite a bit of prophecy and eschatology and symbolism and so forth, but before it gets into any of that, chapters 2 and 3 are actually dictated letters sent to actual churches of the time, which were located in what is now modern-day Turkey. And so we're offering Pastor Jack's Letters to the Seven Churches, What Kind of Church Are You? It's a 7-CD series, and we're happy to send it your way for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. Again, its title, Letters to the Seven Churches, subtitled, What Kind of Church Are You? Again, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll be glad to send you this 7-CD set. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or you can give us a call toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.